Hello, I'm Dr. Julia Haller, ophthalmologist in chief of the Wills Eye Institute and professor and chair of the Department of Ophthalmology at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. Welcome to Medscape Ophthalmology Insights, coming from the American Academy of Ophthalmology meeting in Chicago. This is part of a series of commentaries produced in cooperation between Medscape and Wills Eye Institute. Joining me today are my colleagues Dr. Carl Regillo and Dr. Alan Ho of Wills Eye Institute. Dr. Regillo is chief of the retina service at Wills Eye, and Dr. Ho is the director of research at Wills Eye. We'll be discussing the latest developments in retinal disease presented at the meeting, in particular, treatment advances in age-related macular degeneration and retinal vein occlusions. Let's share with our viewers today some of the hot topics coming out of today's meeting. Gentlemen, what's the takeaway? Alan, why don't we start with you?
It's a very exciting time for the treatment of wet macular degeneration because I think we're at the point where we've made great strides with anti-VEGF therapy, but with the new Fovista anti-PDGF data, I think we're ready to perhaps launch to another level for our patients. I think that's the most exciting information and latest information. Of course, there's other information that's coming out on long-acting delivery devices that may reduce treatment burden for our patients. And we're just starting to see some hints of potential safety and efficacy on new treatments for geographic atrophy, which, of course, we've never had treatments for.
Very exciting. Carl, any comments about this?
He's right. It's another big year in retina. We continue to make great strides in AMD, both wet and dry now. We're starting to see some progress in dry, some exciting work, like you said, with stem cells and other potential good treatments for dry AMD. But the wet AMD, as Alan said, the bar might be rising. We have a therapy that looks like we're going to be able to get better vision results, and that's really exciting.
Where do you see the combination therapy fitting in your AMD treatment, Carl? Do you see that you'll be adding it after an anti-VEGF, or does it remain to be seen as the trials spool out?
Well, I think for years we've been saying ultimately the best optimal management for wet AMD is going to be combination therapy to attack this disease from different angles, and that's exactly what this does. Drugs have different mechanisms of action, and I think we'll be using anti-VEGF and anti-PDGF Fovista together up front for new wet AMD and using it regularly to get the very best anatomical and functional results. And then we'll take it from here. It's a little bit of an unknown what to do beyond the first 6 months with this.
Great. Just moving very quickly to vein occlusions, aflibercept, Eylea, approved recently. Has that changed your management at all, Alan? And have you heard anything at the Academy that's changed your outlook on treatment of vein occlusions?
Not really. I think laser still plays a role for vein occlusions, but first-line therapy, just like in diabetic macular edema, has moved towards injection therapy, and it's really just a testament to the science that we have behind the mechanisms of vision loss for macular edema and retinal vein occlusion, AMD, and diabetic macular edema. So anti-VEGF therapy right now for vein occlusions, approved for aflibercept, approved for ranibizumab, that is Eylea and Lucentis, and we use Avastin too.
You know, wide field viewing is coming up in a lot of talks. Are you looking more in the periphery at ischemia when you're dealing with your vein occlusions, Carl?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been encouraging anecdotes in small series to suggest that doing laser where the retina is non-perfused in the setting of branch or even more central retinal vein occlusion might allow us to get better control or more permanent control of the edema so that maybe we can back off or use less total anti-VEGF treatment over time. And it does look promising. I think a lot of us have dabbled in it and have had some results that look good, but that has to be put to the test in large-scale prospective clinical studies.
Not everyone has access to wide-field angiography, so I don't think that you're necessarily behind if you don't have access to that as a treating physician. But I think for patients who are recalcitrant that are not responding, I look for that as an explanation for why patients may not be responding. You might need to increase your frequency of anti-VEGF injections. You might want to consider intravitreal steroids, Kenalog, Ozurdex, et cetera, as a way to help your improve your therapy for BRVO that's not responding.
Great. 3 weeks ago, Jetria ochroplasmin approved by the FDA. Alan, do you see yourself looking more at that vitreoretinal interface now that there's a pharmacological option for treating it?
It's really intriguing because their approval was a broad-based approval for symptomatic vitreomacular adhesion. So that applies not only to classic diseases that we think in that context, for example, macular holes or vitreofoveal traction, but other conditions like diabetic macular edema, AMD, and if patients, for example, aren't responding to wet AMD treatments, maybe it's a barrier that's created by the vitreomacular adhesion that could be released with this new drug, too. So it's very exciting. We expect to have that available to us in January of 2013.
Carl, are you going to start using it? Where do you see it fitting into your clinical practice?
Well, this is a whole new class, and it's an exciting development. It's the other big development this year is to have ochroplasmin FDA approved as of a few weeks ago and in our hands in a few months. I think it's going to be used in a widespread fashion. I think any patient that comes to us with symptomatic vitreoretinal adhesion with traction in the fovea and or macular hole, those patients are ideally suited to try this office-based intervention of injecting the drug with a success rate that's probably in the range of 30-40%, could be even higher depending on the characteristics. And it's a nice intermediary step, perhaps the last step you need to do, and you don't need to do the surgery. Mm-hmm. So any treatment that means staying out of the OR when you have a disease that otherwise had to be managed surgically is a step in the right direction and a big development.
Great. Anything else on the horizon that you're looking at coming out of this meeting? What are clinical trials at Wills or one of the busiest places in the world? Are there some of these drugs that you're looking at testing, some of these treatments you're looking at testing? Any thoughts about that, Alan?
Yeah, well, we did present results for the population of patients in AMD, advanced AMD, who don't have any proven treatment. Geographic atrophy is a very different kind of problem. We don't have a specific pharmacologic target, and our preliminary results from one cell-based therapy study show that there may be some signal of possibly improving vision for the patients. Very preliminary. Again, no proven cell therapy for geographic atrophy, but the fact that we're doing it, that we've seen some safety, that there may be some efficacy signals, I think is very, very exciting.
Carl, you've been involved in one of the other cell-based therapies for geographic atrophy and Stargardt's macular degeneration. Any thoughts about that approach?
Yeah, another promising approach, very complementary and different in the sense that we hope that stem cells can repopulate dead or missing retinal pigment epithelial cells.
When injected under the retina.
Right. Injecting stem cell-based line of mature retinal pigment epithelial cells, in essence an RPE transplant, mm-hmm. To repopulate the cells under the retina in hopes of either slowing vision loss or ideally even improving vision. And that's another promising approach, and we're very excited about that. In addition to that, other ways to approach dry AMD, inhibiting complement, inhibiting the visual cycle in such a way that might decrease the load of toxic metabolites, and some products are coming to testing right now.
Great. Very briefly, walking around the exhibit floor, anything that's exciting? Any new lasers? Any new technologies? Or did you find an instrument that you particularly like that you wanted to share with the audience? Or nothing particularly new this year?
Retina is very, very fortunate to be enriched with technology. Mm-hmm. Technology that winds up being focused for better outcomes for patients, mm-hmm. really. And some of the things we're trying to understand is what's accounting for example, treatment response. So the imaging modalities that are available are just exploding.
Yeah.
And in fact, there are some imaging modalities for which we're trying to find an application and working backwards. So adaptive optics, multimodal imaging, next generation OCT imaging, I think these are all very exciting and promising and bode well for us understanding some of the responses that we're seeing in some of these new investigational therapies.
Any new lasers? You like targeted laser, automatic laser that you don't have to do too much, but just set it up and it goes for you?
You know, on the surgical front, there's still lots of refinements that are occurring. Mm-hmm. There's been tremendous evolution towards really good, efficient ways to approach our surgical problems. And so right now we're just seeing further refinements, not anything that's particularly brand new in terms of a new technology.
But imaging is probably the hot area where the envelope is being pushed the most. Thank you, gentlemen. Pleasure to be here with you this morning. Thanks for joining us. This is Dr. Julia Haller with Dr. Carl Regillo and Dr. Alan Ho for Medscape Ophthalmology and Wills Eye Institute.